There's no limit to political donations under the current electoral regulations. The Independent Electoral Review Panel has recommended a cap of $30,000 in its draft report, which was released today. Max Rashbrook is a senior associate of the Institute for Governance and Policy Studies at Victoria University of Wellington, and he joins us now to discuss. Kia ora, Max.
Kia ora.
Max, tell us a bit more about what the panel's recommended with respect to donations.
Well, basically, they've taken the view, which I think is correct, that New Zealand regulates donations to political parties pretty weakly compared to, you know, other developed countries. There's not a huge amount of transparency about who's giving money to political parties, and there aren't any limits on how much money you can give to a political party. Now, in most developed countries, both those regulations would be a bit tougher. In New Zealand, up until recently, you didn't have to disclose the name of someone giving money to a political party unless they gave over $15,000. The government's recently taken that down to $5,000, but the panel is saying, well, it should be lower still at $1,000, because, you know, even $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 is quite a lot of money to give to a party, and, it, you know, there's evidence that that level of donation can generate access to politicians that the rest of us wouldn't have. So they've said we should know the names of anyone who's giving over $1,000. And they've also said that only real people should be able to donate, not organisations and corporates. And again, that's pretty common overseas. And then lastly, they've said that there should be a maximum amount that you can give to a political party, you know, in any sort of defined period. And they've said that should be $30,000. Because, you know, it is important that people can give to political parties, but if they're able to give really large amounts, they may be able to get influence that the rest of us don't have, or at the very least there's a perception that there'll be any influence that the rest of us don't have, and even that can be pretty corrosive to people's trust in the system.
So some might suggest it should be open slather. Why does it make any difference what the limit is? You know, is it common to have limits? You said it matters in that sense.
Yeah, look, I mean, about two-thirds of all the countries in the OECD, so that's of the sort of 37, 38 OECD countries, two-thirds of them place limits on how much you can give to a political party. So that is a very standard thing. And look, it's just, as I said, to crack down on that potential for influence. Some work I did last year with Lisa Merritt from Victoria University involved interviewing donors to political parties and looking at the history of donations-related scandals in New Zealand. And, look, you know, donors are pretty open about the fact that large donations are buying access to politicians. That's getting you in the door, giving you a better chance of making your case. We've seen a lot of instances, you know, you think about the donations cases with New Zealand First or the ones with Labour and National, where people were found guilty of splitting up donations. You know, there is a lot of underhand stuff that goes on. There is the potential for really large sums of money to influence politicians. And so what the panel is saying, let's just clean a lot of that out. Let's say you just can't give more than $30,000 to a political party in a given period.
So Deborah Hart, the panel's chairperson, said many people who submitted as part of the review were uneasy about the idea that donors can basically buy political influence with donations. So is this an issue we've seen here in New Zealand? It has been overseas. Bribery might be another word for it, I suppose.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's often hard to say with any sort of clarity that a certain donation led to a certain outcome. But I think if you look at the wider picture, I mean, about three quarters of New Zealanders say they don't trust the system for funding political parties. And we've certainly seen a lot of scandals. You know, we've seen both Labour and National ministers approving citizenship for people who are big donors against the advice of their officials. We've seen, you know, National MPs intervening in police investigations into people who were donors. You know, we had the New Zealand First Foundation channeling hundreds of thousands of dollars from people who may not have got you know, any favours from New Zealand First Ministers, but who certainly stood to benefit from decisions that New Zealand First Ministers made. So I think there is certainly reason to be concerned about the system and to think that we'd be much better off if there was a limit to how many, to the size of donations people can make, and much greater transparency about the names of the people who are making these donations.
So currently under the existing framework, organisations as such can donate. The panel recommends, as you said, changing that so only people, or I guess voters, can donate. So what impact could that really have?
Again, I think it would help clean up a lot of things. And again, it's pretty common overseas that only voters, you know, only natural persons be able to donate. And that's partly because, you know, political parties do need to be supported, but, you know, the ability to donate to them is a privilege. You know, it's a right. And a bit like voting, I think it's reasonable to say that, well, actually we reserve that right only for natural persons. The other thing it would do was remove some of the opportunities for getting around the rules. At the moment, you know, if you're a wealthy individual, you can channel a whole bunch of donations through trust, through companies, through other organizations, in ways that conceal your identity as the true giver of the money. And if people, if only, you know, voters can donate to political parties, that cuts out all those kinds of workarounds, all those forms of corruption.
So already this year we've seen some hefty donations that have been declared?
We certainly have. ACT and National in particular have been declaring millions of dollars in donations, many of them very large sums of $100,000 or upwards of that. And one of the prospects that that raises is of an unfair playing field at this year's election, because National and ACT are out fundraising Labour and the Greens by something like 8-1 on the data that we have. So obviously they'll have a vastly greater ability to get their message out, to buy advertising, to buy polling, to pay for candidates' travel and all sorts of other expenses. And so we may not see a fair contest of this year's election in the way that we would want to.
So there's many other recommendations by the panel. What do you make of, for example, lowering the party threshold from 5% to, say, 3.5%?
I think that makes sense. I think there's an argument that you don't want no threshold at all, because then you might get a plethora of parties that, you know, very small parties, single issue parties, parties that aren't really in a position to, you know, make an intelligent contribution to Parliament. But I think 5% is very high. I mean, that's 100,000 votes, you know, so you're saying to 100,000 New Zealanders, your vote doesn't count. And to me, that seems too high. You've seen some perfectly sensible parties like the Top Party. I mean, I'm not necessarily a supporter, but they're an intelligent, coherent party with policies that they've thought about. You know, they're excluded from Parliament at the moment, and it's very hard to see why. So I think taking the threshold down to 3.5%, I mean, I'd probably go lower to maybe 3%, but 3.5% would certainly be an improvement on 5%. I think it would enfranchise a whole lot of extra voters who are making perfectly sensible choices at the ballot box.
So that 3.5% or 3%, if you do the maths, that's like 96.5% or 97% of people not voting for that party. So is there justification in that case?
Look, I mean, I think it's just, it's a trade-off fundamentally. You possibly don't want to take the threshold right down, because as I said, you might get too many small sort of rats and mice parties. But you don't want it too high, because then it disenfranchises, you know, perfectly rational voters, which I think is what it's doing at the moment. The panel has tried to strike a balance there. I think you could strike the balance a little bit lower, but anything that, you know, lowers the threshold, say from 5% to 3.5%, is a good move in my book.
Any other recommendations that stood out to you, Max?
Well, I mean, one obvious one is lowering the voting age to 16. And look, I mean, I support that. Personally, you know, there might be some 17 and 18-year-olds who aren't really ready for voting, but there are probably some 70 and 80-year-olds, dare I say, who don't make the best choices. So I think that's quite reasonable. The other interesting one is the recommendation that there be a referendum on extending the parliamentary term from 3 years to 4 years. I think that probably makes sense because it would allow parties to make law and make policy in a more considered manner, whereas you lose a lot of time, you know, after elections getting your feet under the table and then before elections campaigning rather than lawmaking. The objection that's often raised on that is that there's no checks and balances on our party, on our parliament. You know, there's only one House of Parliament and they don't face a Supreme Court that can strike down laws. And do you really want to give people untrammeled power for an extra year at the end of every parliamentary term? I think that it's a fair point. So I would, if there was to be a longer parliamentary term, I'd like to see it balanced by some more checks on that executive power. So devolution of more functions to local government, or, you know, greater transparency about what government does, or a second House of Parliament or something like that. But I certainly think that debate around the length of the parliamentary term is one we should be having.
Thank you, Max. Max Rashbrook, who's a senior associate of the Institute for Governance and Policy Studies at Victoria University, commenting on the recommendations of the Independent Electoral Review Panel.